up, everybody? We back. R2C2. Another week. What's good, guys?
Looks like you're huddled up in a hotel room, like, just, like, it for some reason, it presents like the hotel room is 200 feet, square feet, and you're trying to just, like, make it by, man. Like
it's... Nah, it's just this area I'm in. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got my little charger over here. My fucking laptop is pretty old. I got to update. So apparently, Apple updated the iOS system, and my shit won't update, so I'm on my laptop. So, you know, it's pretty janky setup, but I'm here. I'm on a little golf trip, you know what I'm saying?
Oh!
I gotta get out. Bro, I'm too fucking old for the cold weather. Like, I have to get out of cold weather. Shit sucks. So, Reggie Jackson was having a big golf event down here at the Floridian. You want to talk about fucking superstars? He had Joe Namath, he had Marcus Allen, he had Jerome Bettis, Ken Griffey Jr., Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, A-Rod. I mean, name a fucking athlete that wasn't, I mean, there was, the who's who was at this event. So it was a fun Sunday, Monday.
The Floridian. Nice, man.
The Floridian.
So did you go to Disney at all while you were down there?
So I'm here. I'm playing the Grove Wednesday, Thursday. Saya has a big dance competition the weekend. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I'm staying at Disney. But Friday night, we check into the Star Wars hotel.
Oh, so, dude, come on. Yeah, you're burying the lead. That's unbelievable.
Bro, I wish I could show you on my phone. Last night, I just ordered all my garb, like my Star Wars. Like I ordered all kind of robes and shit that I'm gonna wear at the hotel so I can, you know, be in character, me and Carter. Carter got a Boba Fett costume, like,
oh,
you know,
my gosh.
We're pretty locked in.
That's so amazing. You're gonna have to send me pictures, man.
Yeah, for sure. We check in there Friday night, we get out of there Monday. So that's gonna be our experience.
Wow, that is incredible. I am so jealous. You have to let me know. Dude, I still have not done Star Wars, like Galaxy's Edge. I haven't gone to any of it at any of the Disney.
Oh, really?
Worlds. Yes, because, and you know, I'm a huge Disney fan. It's just like the way COVID happened in my life, and I just haven't had a Magic game, and like I just haven't gotten to Orlando or had like a free time in LA. No,
I think we need to do LA because I want to do, I want to go to the Universal. I want to go to Universal out there because they got the Super Mario World.
Oh,
they
have
Super Mario World
cool.
at the Universal LA. So I wanna go out there. I haven't been to Disney LA in a long time anyway.
Man, I need like just like a week to just catch up on my theme park activity.
Yeah. Hey, that's something that like will always be a part of my winter.
Yeah.
Like hitting a theme park. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like no matter what, like we'll always like fucking do that. We'll always come down to Disney or whatever, like whether it's with my kids, my grandkids, whatever, like that'll always be a part of like something that we'll do.
Ah, I love that, man. Yeah, I know. I got to get Evie to Disney for her first trip. We were thinking like wait until she's three.
Like, maybe, but I was about to say four, cuz.
Yeah, I know. It's like, I want to go.
It's hard to wait. Yeah. I know. Well,
also, like, she has like no fear now, you know? So I'd almost like to like introduce her to some rides. Like, I know she'd get a kick out of so much of it. But
yeah,
like,
that's true.
You know, but like, of course, there's also a million things she can't do yet. Plus, like, it's just, it's hard when you're navigating around a nap schedule and whatever. But
if you want her to ride, though, then you need to get her on now. If you like swimming, riding, like those type of things that you want to get her into, like so she won't be scared of, you need to start now.
I know. We got to do the swim lessons, too, which I'm just like so nervous for her being scared, like jumping in, but because she's,
you just throw her in, bro. I'm telling you.
I know. But she's crying. I'm so upset watching her.
Matt Siegel, one of our good friends, me and you, but obviously is in our group chat. Him and Nikki, I always send him videos of like people throwing their babies in the water because I'm like, just throw Winnie in, man. Like,
that's how
I did my kids. All my kids were born in the fall, and like I would come back the next spring training. And we would have a house down in Florida, and I would just throw them in, like throw them under. And when they're that age, they're not scared of the water. You know what I'm saying? Man. So they learn how to swim pretty early.
You had your own school academy for swimming. What's interesting is like there are like, you know, there are like lessons that they offer now with this for like, you know, 1 year olds that do something similar. You know, they take certification.
And they'll come right back up to the top and flip back on their back.
Yeah.
It's the craziest shit.
Oh gosh, it scares me. But I know she's gonna learn not from Coach Sabathia, but from someone.
No, drop her off at our crib, bro. We'll have her swimming in fucking 2 weeks. I'm telling you.
I could never. Oh my gosh. See, speaking of crazy ideas, we get to chat with Tommy Canely this week, man. Our good friend returning. I'm excited.
Yes.
For him to be back with the Yankees, he just brings a fun energy. Diehard sports fan. I know he was a guy you loved playing with.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, like you said, for him to be back on the pod, but most importantly, be back with the Yankees. I think he said something super important at the very last thing he said, you know, when you asked him about his changeup, and he said, you know, the guy said, it looks like my fastball. And they talking about his arm speed. So all the young pitchers that are listening to this podcast, when you throw in your changeup or your off-speed pitches, The most important thing is to keep up the arm speed and make it look just like your fastball. And that's the key to the deception. So that was the very last thing you'll hear him say. Says a lot of crazy shit talking about he's not an Eagles fan, but then breaks down Jalen Hurts every game that he's watched. And, you know, he's got this kid broken down, but he's not a fan. But he's great. And he's fun. He's good. He's a good guy to have in the clubhouse that brings energy every day throughout the summer.
So, without further ado, making his return to the Yankees, making his return to R2C2, chatting about his fractured Eagles fandom in advance of the Super Bowl, chatting about why he came back to the Yankees, chatting about his habits of keeping everybody awake on flights, about being a dad, about the mental health hurdles coming back from Tommy John, about that nasty changeup. Here is Tommy Canely on R2C2. We are delighted because today we get to chat with not just a man who's returning to the Yankees, but really a legend, somebody who's almost like his superhero avatar has grown larger than life, larger than sports, larger than the interlocking NY. That is the legend of Tommy Canely returns to R2C2. Tommy, welcome back, man.
Ah, awesome. I appreciate you guys getting me back on here. I feel like I didn't live up to the expectation of the last one. I feel like I was, you know, died down. There's too many people. I need to be by myself. I think that's the best way.
It was too many people. It was too much going on in that Game of Thrones episode, right?
Yeah, there's too much. I'm going to jump in. I don't know. You know the Sock Man. He'll just talk all day about it.
Man, he was an official maester after that episode, Mike Tauchman.
He definitely was. He was.
Literally.
But it's so funny because I remember in the aftermath of, and that's one of my favorite episodes we ever did, that Game of Thrones roundtable before the finale. But like in the aftermath, everyone was like, man, Tommy's the craziest dude on this team. And he just sat there quietly. Like, what happened?
Just didn't get anything out, you know? Couldn't get it out.
I see the Eagles in the man cave back there right now. So let's hear the story right now. I heard that you are not, right? You're not an Eagles fan and they're in the Super Bowl right now. So you're not an Eagles fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to believe it, because I know, you know, everybody knows, it's been around me forever. I was the biggest diehard Eagles fan, as crazy as they are when you see them on TV and videos, YouTube, Twitter, all that stuff.
I mean, every jersey. I mean, you've seen his locker, Ruco, you know what I'm saying?
It's crazy.
Every jersey. Yeah. Old school Brian Dawkins jerseys, like from when he was in kindergarten.
Oh, yeah. I still got them. I can't get rid of it, but sadly, I have since 2020 just gone down a downhill path. I'm pretty over it. I mean, it all started with basically the rumblings of like the Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, Howie Roseman, all that interactive once that all just kind of blew up, I just said, I'm done. And then, I don't know, it just kind of blew up too much. I'm over it. I don't care anymore. It's almost like the last straw on the camel's back just broke. I was over it. I was done. So,
but it you all have, I don't understand, Tommy. This is a franchise that had never won a Super Bowl. It won one, what, 4 or 5 years ago. Now it's back in another. Like, shouldn't you have had some residual, like, good feelings in the aftermath, like, about the franchise to get you through that tough time?
I mean, CeCe knows me. I'm stubborn as a bull. It's without a doubt. I mean, if I stick to something, going with it. And I ain't coming
back.
So
who are you rooting for now? Are you a Bills fan?
So I like to root for ex-Eagles coaches. So we got Bills, Jags, Chiefs. You got the Ravens. And I think, who else? There's probably a couple more I can't think of right now, but I like watching those teams. I don't know. I'm that crazy right now.
So you literally
watch on Sunday, but I'm not even like I used to yell, scream, all that. Nah.
So are you rooting for them as you watch them now?
No.
Wow. Tommy, that's so crazy to me. You were as big an Eagles fan. Is that not nuts?
I sound insane. Literally insane.
Like, you were as big an Eagles fan as anybody is of any team I've seen.
I know. I know. I know this. Like, I've come to – I don't know. I've come to terms with it. I'm over it. I mean, maybe down the road, give it like – I'm going to need at least 5 to 6, 7 more years. I don't even know.
I mean, after that, and they may win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, and he's talking about 7 more years.
Not my Super Bowl now. They can
wow.
Have it.
So
you're not a Jalen Hurts guy?
No, I'm not. I still think he is – he's good enough to be surrounded by that team to do what they've done. And do I think he can do it once, you know, you take a few pieces away here and there? Probably not, but – I don't know. I just see – so he's really good against zone coverage, and I've noticed man coverage is not his best, like, capabilities of reading the defense and all that kind of stuff. But he did improve heavily this year. I mean, I'm going to watch every game. It's just part of it. But I did notice in zone coverage he made better reads over the last few years that he's had. But I'm not jumping on because it all started with the whole Howie Roseman – doing his things, tinkering around. I was just, the only thing, I think I'm more angry with the Doug Peterson thing being thrown out. I think that's what really got me was Doug. Because Carson in 2020 was, he was awful. I mean, it was time to go.
You're saying Doug getting fired is what was the last straw
for
you?
That's where I thought one of them had to stay or go. And to be honest, it should have been Doug who stayed because, I mean, the guy just took us to a Super Bowl and won. Did some crazy stuff. Reinvented a whole offense for a guy that's been on the bench his entire career. You know, I don't know. I was a big Doug guy.
So you don't want to see Howie Roseman succeed. Is that what this comes down to?
Yeah, pretty much.
So if Howie wasn't there, would you be an Eagles fan again?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you have any personal dealings?
Listening to him break down Jalen Hurts, though, that sounds like an Eagles fan, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I watch every game. I don't like him anymore, but I watch his own coverage reads.
If there's a team that he's the leader of the quarterback to even have a great chance to win a Super Bowl, it's this team. I mean, I look at it top to bottom. Yeah, it's one of the best teams I've ever seen them have, but I'm not on. I'm not in.
So...
But it's ironic that they get to go against a former coach in which I loved him, and then he got booted out of town too.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just East Coast living, bro. You know what I mean? That's East Coast sports. You get hired to get fired. It is what it is.
Yeah. I think that one broke me, see. It was it. I broke down. Literally broke down physically and mentally all in the same year. It was great.
I want to ask about Super Bowl Sunday, but I just have to quickly say this reminds me of the offseason heading into the 2004 baseball season when the Yankees didn't re-sign Andy Pettit, who is my favorite athlete of all time.
Oh, man.
I have an uncomfortable love of Andrew Eugene Pettit, Tommy. And
when he left, I decided, I was like, that's it. I'm done with the Yankees. I'm an Astros fan. I told my family, like, get me all Astros stuff for Christmas. I had Andy Pettit Astros jersey. I had Astros hats. One Astros hat, which I loved, and it was stolen off my knee while I was sleeping on Amtrak. That's a different story. But I had all this Astros stuff. Yeah, exactly. A couple weeks later, Yankees trade for A-Rod. I'm like, oh, this is going to be really hard not to root for them. Like, I might be back in. And by like by the second week of April, I was as much a Yankee fan as I ever had been. Now, there was a lot of like dudes on those teams that like I did not like rooting for. Like Kevin Brown just seemed like a miserable human, and Randy Johnson. And, you know, there was like, you know, there was other guys who you just like never got, like Javier Vazquez, you wanted to be good. He seemed nice, but he just like, he was just terrible when he went to the Yankees, whatever. But I still was rooting for them. I could not do what I had. Andy Pettit was my like Doug Peterson, Andy Reid. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. I couldn't hold up my end of the bargain. I rooted for the Astros, but I rooted harder for the Yankees.
I just wish I had the discipline, because the Raiders, they've stunk for 25 fucking years. And I just don't have the discipline to like, I shit on them every, you know what I'm saying? But I don't have the discipline to not be all in as soon as something good happens. Like, I'll be like, nah, I ain't watching no games. And then I'll flip the game on and they'll get a first down and I'm like, all in. Just one first down, you know what I'm saying?
They'll
like,
get a first down.
I don't have any discipline when it comes to the Raiders, bro. Like, any.
I finally got to see how crazy it is in, like, with Raiders. When I finally went out L.A. to be out there all the time, I was like, oh my gosh, these guys are crazy.
Yeah, no, it's nuts.
I knew from you, see, that you diehard Raiders fan. And then I got to actually see it. I was like, oh my gosh, this place is wild.
And I got to experience Philly last week. I went to the Eagles Giants game.
You know,
and
we
tailgated. It was insane, the atmosphere. Like, that shit crazy. Was crazy. It was so nuts, man. It was fun to be out
there. I'm glad. Where do you remember the parking lot you were in?
We were in M Lot.
Okay. I think
so.
I know.
We parked in like the little valet, but then we walked across the street. It was like the M Lot. It was right across from the stadium. But it was all the parking lots was full because they had a lacrosse match there.
Oh,
so
I
everybody
heard.
Everybody bought tickets to that. So they had been tailgating since 9 a.m.
Oh,
so
my.
We pulled up thinking that we could get there early. Me and Pekka's, we got there like 3-4 o'clock. And it was packed. The streets were already like packed with people, fucking blocked off, music playing. It was like every section of every parking lot around that stadium was like full to the max fucking tailgating. It was the coolest atmosphere I've been in outside of Oakland tailgates.
That used to be me. That used to be me. I will not go. I've seen some crazy shit at Eagles games. Crazy shit.
That was crazy, man.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone from seeing Giants fans just punched in the face for no reason to like Cowboys getting booed, peed on. I was like, what am I seeing here? It's one of the craziest experiences going to those games. Like, I'm
glad. So maybe that's what it is, Tommy. The behavior of Eagles fans, it just doesn't really jive with your moral compass anymore, you know? Like, that's...
I don't know. No, Tommy, he described the shit that he did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, we've talked about this recently. Like, I will never again in my life go to a Philadelphia sporting event rooting for a non-Philadelphia team overtly. The experience I had at the 2009 World Series was horrifying. And I mean, like, people take pride in just being like, you know, just behaving like animals for a day. Yeah. Like, if there's literally, they're not human beings.
It's just
anymore.
Needling all day, though. You know what I'm saying? Because people say shit to you all day. Like, it's the person at the elevator in the hotel. You know what I'm saying? And then the ticket person. And then the person when you're going to get your hot, like, it's everyone. So they don't stop. So, like, by the time the end of the game, the fans are yelling at you, just like, Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, like, you're over it.
You're over it. You know what I'm saying? Because they just, they don't stop. It's every single person that sees you with the other team shit on is going to say something to you, no matter whether they work in there, a fan, or no matter what. It's like,
and,
it's the craziest shit.
It.
It's,
they're not nice
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, like, it's crazy, man. Like, well, I've seen, like, Pekka's is, like, the biggest Giants fan, and he can take shit from anybody, talk shit and go back and forth. And they made it. He took his jacket and his fucking jersey off.
I've had, like, my friends
that shit,
take their shit
off. He had that shit
off,
balled up under his fucking, under his armpit walking out of there, bro. Like, it was crazy.
That happened to one of my buddies. He had a Cowboys. He took his jersey off first quarter. He said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. He told me, give me something green to wear.
Well, so Tommy, then we look ahead to Super Bowl Sunday. You're a big sports fan, so you're gonna watch the game, right?
That's the thing. So now I'm a father.
Yeah, so, congratulations, yeah, man. Congratulations.
The little one, she goes to bed at like 7:30, so that's usually when I like immediately go and try to watch some sport that's on, whether it's my Magic, Sabres, Tar Heels. Right now, that's the big three for me right now. But so, I mean, I guess I'll turn it on when she goes down at 7:30 because we try not to show her a lot of TV.
Same. So. I have a 16-month-old. Same thing, yeah. Tommy. How old's yours?
So she'll be 15 months in like 2 weeks.
Oh, we're on the same timeline here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chad Green, too. His is around the same age.
Have you seen Green? He got a 2-year deal with Toronto. You seen that?
He signed today.
Oh,
2-year deal with the Blue Jays.
I'm gonna miss
the last like couple weeks. Oh. And that's the route it was looking was Toronto.
Oh, I love Chad.
Which is
I'm gonna
good
miss
for him
that.
Though.
Yeah,
good for his life though. Yeah,
yeah.
And plus he'll be in Tampa still. So I'm gonna see him.
Oh yeah,
probably every week. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you turn on the game at 7:30 after your daughter goes to bed. What's your daughter's name?
Vera.
Vera. Oh, that's a beautiful name. I went to middle school with a Vera. You turn it on, and you have Andy Reid, your guy, in Chiefs colors, going up against a team you used to love as much as anybody's ever loved any team, but their GM is your mortal enemy, Howie Roseman.
Yeah,
so who do you root for when you tune into that game? You're rooting for the Eagles. You're clearly rooting for the Eagles.
You gotta be rooting for the Eagles,
bro. I can't even say. I can't do it.
You gotta be rooting for the Eagles, but you don't want to say it. This is amazing.
I can't physically say it. I might have.
I wish I had that discipline, bro. I'm telling you.
I might have bought something off Fanatics. I don't want to jinx anything that's going on. I'm just 7:30 comes, I'll probably put the game on. Why not?
Oh my gosh. So
that's great.
Here's the thing. You're going to be, if we have a GoPro cam on you during the game, we're going to see a Tommy Canley that's actually kind of nervous for his Eagles. That's what I think.
No, tame. Super tame.
Really? All right.
No yelling. Just sit there. Whatever.
Okay. Oh, you bought a Chiefs jersey. Okay. Wow.
If I had to guess what jersey, what Chiefs jersey you bought, I would guess.
The GOAT.
Bought Mahomes.
100%.
He bought a Mahomes jersey.
Hey, I've been on this guy since Andy took it. I think this guy is. There's not many that I've ever seen that like that.
Nah, he's unbelievable.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, he's man. He did that shit on one leg last week.
Yeah, on one leg. Yeah, that's what people are forgetting. That was one leg this weekend. That's crazy.
Yeah,
Tommy. We also know you mentioned it before, and you're wearing the sweatshirt. You're an Orlando Magic fan. We could do a documentary on the rooting origin of Tommy Canley's fandom.
Oh yeah,
with the potpourri of teams that you're a diehard of, with no obvious connection. you got a squad you're building there in Orlando. You must be excited, man.
So I was getting pretty. I mean, you don't want your team to lose ever, but I was thinking if there's one year where we need to probably lose. It was this year.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about Wembanyama over in France. So, like, I'm just... But now, I mean, they're playing well, and they got everybody back. Isaac just came back. Fultz is back. I mean, they got a strong squad. I mean, if they... I mean, are they going to upset, you know, the Celtics or the Sixers or... No, but... Even though they did beat the Sixers last night, down 18.
And they undefeated against the Celtics this year, right?
Yeah, they beat. I told my one buddy who's a Celtics fan, he can't. I said, you lost three times already. Three.
But hey, if they lose the one seed, they're going to be thinking about those games against the Magic.
That is true, yeah. So there is a chance. I know they're like three games. I think it's like three games back at the 10 spot. So I'm going to be monitoring it all year. But I do. I know once baseball starts, you really can't watch games because they're like the same time as ours, but I'll figure it out. I always do.
You'll be able to go in spring training. No, we used to go to those Magic games all the time.
I know. I want to go spring. So bad. That's right. Yeah, we used to catch those games. The Warriors game.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to drive over there a lot.
I should have went. I can't believe I didn't go.
See, I remember when Tommy was – what were you hurt in 2018, Tommy?
Yeah, 18 with the shoulder.
When Tommy was hurt, I remember then, like, in the beginning of the next year, you kept saying, like, man, we miss Tommy. Like, we needed Tommy in the room. Why is Tommy's presence one that you really feel in the room as a team and makes a difference?
I think he's just one of those, he's like one of those glue guys, just like Swish, you know what I mean, on that 09 team where – he comes in every day with that energy. No matter how you're feeling, he's going to come in feeling great and have that energy. And that's just what you need every single day during the summertime. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody that can, it's the really good teams have that guy. And, you know, when he was hurt that year, not having him around in the room and just, you know, having his energy, him bouncing off the walls and talking about sports and doing whatever, video games and just relating to everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, those are the type of guys that you need in winning franchises and organizations and on winning teams.
Tommy, is it for you, is it a natural thing? Is it a conscious effort to always bring that energy? Is it a combination of both? Like, is there ever a time where you're like, I don't feel like bringing the energy today, but this is what I do. I need to show up for my guys. I need them to, like, always know, like, yeah, I'm going to come in here with this spirit.
Yeah, I mean, so it's always just been my thing, I guess. I don't know. I never, like, consciously thought, like, oh, I got to go. I think maybe the only time is when I feel like maybe it's, like, a little too down or quiet. Maybe I need to, like, do something to get people going a little bit. But naturally, it's just that's – I don't know. That's always been how I was. And I'm glad it always takes well because I've been on the bad side of it too where it's just like, I'm like this. I don't know what to do. So I'm always like, that's my thing. Is I can relate to everybody. Like I try to like, you know, just get everybody going. It's fun. Like that's probably the best part of being with the team is like just having fun with each other. It makes everything better. And then eventually, you know, when it's tough, like, you know, you're going to be there and I'm going to be cheering you guys on, whether I'm out in the bullpen, on the field, in the dugout, whatever I can do, always.
When you said, like, hey, I don't know what to do, this is how I am, have you had a circumstance in the majors where who you are and the energy and spirit you bring was not received well?
Yeah. When I was a rookie, didn't go well. LaTroy did not take it well. I mean, there was a... It was LaTroy, a few other guys, but, like, everybody seemed to not really – I mean, they liked it. So, like, it was a mixture. It was a weird mixture of teams. So, like, we had, like, you know, five or six older guys, and then the rest were all, you know, rookie.
Young guys.
1 year, 2 year, yeah, like – so I kind of was like, I don't know what to do. I was shy at first. And I see, you know, Nolan Young, he's been in the league for about a year. He's loud, energetic. I'm like, oh, I like this guy a lot. I like the way he plays. And so I'm like, oh, maybe I can finally be myself. I branched out. Ah, didn't take well. So,
are they like telling you like pipe down, rookie, or are they telling you like stop talking, rookie? Like, how does that go?
Yeah, just like I mean, I know. See, you've probably experienced like some older guys. They're always like, and it's just the game back then was just so different. Older guys treated younger guys. I get it. I understand why, but it's never, I don't know, didn't receive well, I guess.
Yeah, Tommy was at the end of that time when I talked about Rucco, the beginning of my career, where I hated going to the field every day just because of the hazing from some of the older guys who, didn't even want to get to know you one. And if you said anything, they were going to crush you. So, it was some tough times back then. And it's not like that now.
No.
I mean, you see guys, come into the room and, they show up with, just as much swag or anything, just like a, 10, 15 year vet. So that's what I like. I like for guys to be themselves, show up. And I think that's the way that you can get young guys to produce. If you want a guy to come in and produce and help your team win, you got to let them be themselves. Like the unwritten rules of all that hazing and all that bullshit. And I'm going to treat this guy like shit because I got treated like shit. That's garbage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hate that. That's why I don't like all the younger kids now. I don't care what whatever you want. As long as you can do it, you can do whatever you want.
And I've always been like that.
About it, but
yeah.
For the most part, everybody's not an ass, so it's great.
That's what you need, though. You need for guys like that, like Tommy, that and like myself and guys that have been through like the rough times, to let these guys be themselves. You know what I'm saying? To let these guys come in and come up and, be who they are. Whether it's Glaber, whether it's, Judge when he was young, all these different guys, you just let them come up and be themselves and they're working itself out.
Yeah, agreed. Like you said, why would you want to belittle this guy who could help you win ball games? And then, like you said, I had the same feeling. I never even wanted to go to the ballpark. I was like, I don't even want to go to the field today. This is awful.
Yeah.
So why? I don't know. I would want that guy to succeed. It only helps us get to our goal, which is we're trying to win a championship. I mean, I know that's everybody. So
yeah,
it was so crazy that that's the way it was.
Right. But right. If you care about a championship, you should be thinking, I want to do whatever I can to create an atmosphere where everybody can be at their best. Right.
Yes.
Not create an atmosphere where I'm actively making my teammates' jobs harder to perform.
Yes.
Well, hopefully LaTroy learned his lesson, Tommy. We know Howie Roseman will after this pod.
Bring back Joe Douglas. First year, the Jets.
Yeah, he's done a great job, man.
I need a New York team.
Yeah, go for it. They could use some help, man.
They would love if I was a Jets fan. I don't even know why. Oh.
They would love that, man.
And they're green.
And there you go. There you go. You got a lot of gear that you can just slightly adjust, and it works.
They should be taking freaking Bryce Young. I like Bryce Young.
There you go. All right. So, okay. You're already making moves for them. I like it. Yeah. Tommy, what made you come back to the Yankees?
A big one was the familiarity, just knowing the staff. I mean, I know a lot of players aren't there anymore, but there's still some sprinkled in, but, it was the familiarity and just at this stage in my career, World Series I want to experience it. I mean, I've known so many guys that have, so coming back to New York, they're always going to be in the thick of it. Always. Mm-hmm. So that was probably top three factors. It was that, the chance to win a World Series, the familiarity, and the location to home. Those are my big three, and it just all full circle.
For those who don't know, Tommy lives in upstate New York. You're in Latham, or you're somewhere around there, right? Yeah. Where I have family, actually. Tommy, I think maybe we talked about this. Yeah, I think we did. I think we did. Seeing you go through Tommy John and come on the other side. See, I don't know how you feel about this, but a lot of times when I see a pitcher who has a lot of years in the league and they go through that and come out of it and succeed, it always impresses the heck out of me. Verlander's an extreme example, right? Because
that's a wild. That's great. Yeah, that's
wild, right?
Wild.
Because he could have just shut it down. He had his.
Yeah, he could have just.
He had a World Series. He had his Cy Youngs. He's got his Hall of Fame resume. No, he comes back, wins another series, wins another Cy Young. I mean, and you came back last year. You pitched great for the Dodgers. The changeup was as filthy as ever. Opponents were 3-for-32 against it with a million strikeouts. What kind of kept you going during that period to say, like, no, you know what? Like, yeah, this may be happening later in my career, but I still, like, have a lot that I want to give.
I would think just the – it's like the passion to compete, I want to say. Like, I feel like I missed it. It was gone for almost 2 years. So like, I just was, like, biting to get back out and just compete against somebody. I don't know. It's like that – that I feel like that's a thing inside guys that separates, essentially, is like that you want to compete so bad. That's why I always get yelled at by my wife. I try to compete with her in everything, and she's like, this is not a competition. I'm like, yeah it is. But so I've always had that since I was a kid, and anything I did, literally anything, video games, basketball, baseball, football, like playing tennis against my boys, golf, anything you could think of. Like, it's always been there. And I think for those 2 years of just not being able to get out there and pitch and just, I don't know, I think it was just like, I need to get back. That kind of pushed me through, because I did go through a tough time about with the, like, the surgery and the rehab back from it and all that. So it felt good to finally get back out there.
And you know what? When the older guys go through it, they have the work ethic to get through it. Like, you look at Tommy. You talked about Verlander, but like even Evo, you know, he had it twice, and to be able to go through it, you can kind of trust these guys that they're gonna get their work done and be able to keep their arm care up to be able to go out and pitch a full season too.
Yeah, agreed. I feel like over all the years, like, you develop like a work ethic, a routine that you've nailed down. And I agree. It's you see it a lot in, like, the veteran guys. Like, Evaldi's a great story. That one is that's unreal. Obviously the Verlander one is, I mean, he's the only guy we've probably ever seen do that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Tommy, correct me if I'm wrong too. Your wife, Veronica, right?
Yep.
She also is a mental health counselor, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So she actually had to step down 2020.
But got you.
So that's like
her background.
Background.
I mean, when you're going through something like that, and I think one of the things, like, C and I have talked about in the pod, especially when BetterHelp was an advertiser, it was an easy way to talk about it, but just like the mental health component, which used to be so taboo, now is so regularly spoken about, which is such a great thing. You know, how much does it help you to have a wife who is a professional in that field as you navigate a sport? And I mean, life in general, doesn't matter what you do, we all have mental challenges, but you happen to have a sport that I always argue is, like, the toughest mentally because of the failure that comes with it, no matter what, like, no matter how great you are, you're failing in an inordinate amount of time. You go through something like you just said, it was hard for you going through the injury. How much has it helped for you having Veronica, not just as a, you know, as your wife, but as someone who has expertise in this field?
Yeah. I mean, she was probably one of the bigger reasons that I made it back. There was times where obviously I thought, man, I'm never going to pitch again. I say it, thought I was never going to pitch again. I was told possibly 50-50 at one point. So I did go through some pretty wild stuff with my rehab, but she, having her background, she is very knowledgeable in that, just the realm of, you know, mental health. And she can tell. I mean, sometimes when I'm going off the rails, she'll talk to me and get, you know, try to see what, as any, you know, wife would do.
Yeah.
Obviously, her having that background, she knows, like, steps to get all the crazy stuff. Like, she was enormous in that rehab process. But like you said, having her is, like, incredible with the background. And I mean, seeing today, it's great that, like, you see these guys come out and say, you know, they were dealing with this. And then people are, because, you know, you you have fans out there that are like, oh, why is this guy, you know? And then you come to find out the guy's dealing with all this stuff. Like, just because, like, we've seen so much of it that just because, you know, we're making all this money, all this stuff, life must be great. Like, I mean, and I do really appreciate now that each sport has taken, you know, steps to acknowledge that, you know, guys are not in a good place sometimes. And I mean, it's, I think the more and more they realize this and start, you know, pushing towards, you know, getting programs to help guys. And I think it's just going to be better off for the sports and going forward. I think it's been a great thing.
Well said, man. No doubt about it. And shout out to Veronica for her work overall and her work with you through that process, man. I wonder if she could talk to you about your behavior on Red Eyes.
Still legendary. Legendary London flight.
Oh, see, you want to get Justin Turner when he was on R2C2. For anyone who hasn't listened to that episode, go back and listen and he gives some perspective on it. But see, you want to give the audience an idea of what it's like being on a red eye with Tommy?
I mean, I loved it, man. I mean, you know, it's always, it was, you never know what you're going to get. You're definitely going to get the surfing when we taking off, for sure.
Every time.
I mean, you never know what you're going to get on it. You could get if you got a quiet Tommy on a red eye, then you know, you would look back and see what was going on. But most of the time it was going to be a party.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not taken well because I like to yell and like just spur the moment. Like I would do, you guys would be like, "What?"
you know, it's funny. Oh, go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean that was the thing. It's because I do like to go around and try to wake people up.
Yeah,
especially the staff. The staff is the best one because they hate it.
Well, when I can only talk about it. Because I it's been talked about now, you know, publicly, but you know, because normally if I'm on a charter or whatever, I can't talk about anything I see, even if it's innocuous. I'm a guest on the charter, but the charter flight to London has become legendary, even in the public sphere, because of your just memorable behavior, Tommy, and I will never forget. Shuck. Like you, Mike Shuck, who's now our head athletic trainer, you just going up and down the plane. Shuck, you awake? Shuck, you awake?
Literally, oh my God. Was it him or? Yeah, I think I couldn't find him or Tim. I don't even remember. Maybe it was Shuck. But yeah, Tim and Shuck, they don't sleep on the flights.
Oh my God.
Were you on there when we used to do the high card? With the
I love that. That was the best.
Yes. That was the greatest. I've never seen a team sound so unified and together than when you guys would play high card.
It's the best.
I was trying to explain that to somebody the other day. They were like, you guys would do what? I was like, yeah, we take our meal money and just fucking put all the cards down and play high card. Like,
I loved it.
As soon as we got on the plane, those were the best flights, man.
I feel like I would always look at D and I'd be like, D, high card. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that? Dellen,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So I'll just give some perspective since you guys are bringing it up. We sit in the back of the plane, traveling party for Yes. And you guys would play high card in like the middle cabin. Yep. And right, coaches are up front with you guys, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, there'd just be a ton of people standing in the aisle. Gathered round, there's music playing, and you said, just seeing who gets the high card, like,
oh yeah,
the one. It was one pull, bro. It was crazy.
That's all you get, one card each guy. We'd have literally the whole 20 to 25 guys.
Yeah,
the best was when one of the younger guys won because they
that was always fun.
That's making a difference for them.
Yeah,
One of the boys, you get all, everybody's mill buddy, bro. She was crazy.
It was so that, but that stuff's good, right? Like when that's going on, that means you got a. Doesn't that mean you have a good clubhouse vibe going?
Yeah, we did, man. We had a really good vibe on those squads. 17, into 16, 17, 18, 19, really too.
Yeah, though I feel like that like 5 year stretch, that team was so like camaraderie was like so tight. So I think that was I mean we were so good. It was fun together. It really was. I'll remember those times for the rest of my life. Without a doubt.
To see some of those guys coming back though, I think will help. You know, maybe help these guys get over the hump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tommy, have you been in touch with some of your teammates throughout the offseason, just in anticipation of getting back together down in Tampa?
Yeah, so I think, let's see, I've reached out to a few guys. I had to do this. I texted Judge, but I think he has a new number. I didn't get anything back, so I'm like, what is this?
He does, I think. You're right on that. Because I know I've experienced
like,
a change.
Is this Judge's number? They're like, no, he changed. I was like, of course. Try to reach out to him and get nothing. Crickets. Same thing with Nestor. I think he hit two crickets right there.
Yeah,
you got Judge. Judge gets the pass for a new phone number.
Oh man,
I don't know about Nestor, so he's gonna have some.
Yeah, Judge does. Judge has a new number.
Yeah,
yeah. Tommy, real quickly before C's iPad dies, what if you had to describe your changeup and why it's so filthy? What would you say? Why is it just disgusting and so effective?
Oh, I hate this.
Yeah?
But, I mean, trying to think of what would be the one reason why. I mean, just based off, I throw it just as if I would throw my fastball, to be honest. And I've had a lot of talks with the hitters about it. And they always say it looks literally just like my fastball. There's no, if I throw it like the same, you know, arm path, release point. I've talked to guys, if it comes out at a certain release point, it looks just like a fastball and that there's nothing they can really do about it, which I thought was the crazy. I was like, oh, wow, okay. I asked guys like, it was like Stanton, Talkman. There was a few others probably hitting that day, and I was like, oh, okay. I just wanted to get some feedback. I've never heard like anything from hitters or anything.
Well, that's why the numbers are what they are. Tommy, it is so great having you back, man. Please report back to us on how watching the Eagles in the Super Bowl went.
He's going to have all his Eagle shit on, bro.
No.
He's going to have his Mahomes jersey on.
No. See, I'm going to text you a picture of me.
I thought it would be a Kelsey jersey for sure.
Oh, man. Oh, Tommy, it's going to be great to have you back, your spirit, your energy, your change up, all of it. Congratulations on being a dad. Congratulations on the new contract. And can't wait to see you back in pinstripes, man. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It was awesome. Appreciate it. I can't wait to see you guys. It's going to be great.
Yes, sir. Me appreciate too. You guys.
Yeah, you know.
Thanks, Tommy.
Bye, guys.
See, I am really curious how he's going to actually feel on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, he said he's rooting for all ex-Eagles coaches, right? And he's an Eagles, obviously, a fanatic. So he's just setting himself up for, you know, a win-win. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he just wants to give himself a chance to feel good no matter what Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, we're happy he's back. We wish we were watching him on a stream, watching the game.
Right.
And we're glad to have him back on R2C2. You guys know the deal. New episodes every Thursday. Bonus episodes as well. Follow us on all our social channels, and you can download the pod wherever you get your podcast. Remember to rate, review, subscribe. All that stuff matters, and we so appreciate it. So, we will do it again next week, man.
Yep. Peace.
Peace.